morning. We blessed Anna. I would like to just do something. I want the little girls to pray for me. I just believe that we can pray for one another. And there's something that the two girls do, Akila and Alexandra. And I want them to do that for me this morning before I get into the Word of God. That'll be okay? You don't mind now? These are little precious gifts from God. And I want both of you, as I promised in the past, that both of you were going to pray for me. So are you going to do that today, this morning, before I get into the Word of God? And as the church will just bow our heads and close our eyes. So let's pray, okay? So let's pray right now. Father, we ask of you, Lord, that you would just be with us this morning as we go into your Word. We ask your hearts are open to receive, Father. Lord, we pray, O Father, that your anointing will be upon my life, O God. That, Lord, the words that come out of my mouth is your words, O God. Let our hearts be ready to receive from your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Okay? Bless you. So hearing from God. This is something that we all like to hear. When is God's voice speaking to us? Why is God speaking to this individual? Why is God not speaking to this individual? Why is God not speaking to me the way God is speaking to this person or this sister or this brother in Christ? But there are things that will hinder us from hearing from God. And I want to go through the scriptures this morning briefly and going through God's word. And I know this is going to be a touchy thing because we're going to talk about even religious leaders. I do believe that there's religious leaders even within our churches. And if you're a religious leader, you will never hear from God. We need to have a heart that is ministering before the Lord. That is the most important thing. We have to have a heart who loves God inside of our heart to just spend time with God. And then when you do so, that's when God speaks to us. God cannot speak to us if there's something within our lives. God cannot speak. You cannot hear it clearly if there's something within our heart. God isn't silent. We are just having trouble hearing him. That's what it is. So if I'm going to show you an illustration now, and if I'm just going to be behind this wall here, and I'm just going to turn up this mic, and I'm going to call out someone's name, you cannot hear me because something is blocking from this for me to come to you. If something is blocking us, you cannot hear from God. You will never hear from God because there's something happening in between. It's silent. God is there. He wants to speak to individuals. He wants to speak to every heart that we hear. He wants to speak to every soul in this place here. But if there's something blocking us, it is very difficult for us to hear from him. So we got to remove the things that are in our ways so we can have a clear way so when God speaks, it makes it more clear to us. Because we make mistakes in life. We think it's the voice of God. We think it's that. But the most important thing, we must examine ourselves and to see, am I really connected with God? If I'm connected with God and the word, and then when he speaks, and the next question you ask yourself, is it aligned to the scriptures? It has to be aligned to God's word before when he speaks to you. It has to be there because God is not going to tell you something the extremist. It has to be. Now, I know I'm going to be stepping on people's toes, and it's okay. But I've seen this in the past. God does not speak this way. I know God uses different form. God used different forms of way people were healing in the past. And he did. And he used all kinds. He spit on people's eyes, and all of a sudden, it happened. But today we see this, and I've seen this in a video in a church, that the pastor said that God spoke to him and said to him to pick up a speaker and to place it on the woman's chest because she was sick and all of a sudden she will be healed. Come on. You know what happened to that girl? She suffocated. God does not work that way. It's just confusing, and it confuses people, and then everything in this world is all corrupted. Because then they start judging and start making fun of Christianity and saying, is this the God that you serve? So we must be very sensitive into when God speaks to us. So we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 3. And in order to understand, as we get there, in order to understand chapter 3 of Samuel, Jesus exposes a problem with people during his days. And the problem was with the religious leaders. Religious leaders in Jesus' times were absolutely with extreme forms. They were extreme, where they were consumed with religious activities and were fascinated with biblical truths. So church, here it is about religious leaders. Oh, it's not a sermon about me. I'm not a religious leader. No, we need to hear this. Because even religious leaders are in the church itself as we speak today. They are here in our midst. They are in every church. There's some religious leaders. In my scope and my goal, with the help of the Holy Spirit, with the help of God, is to remove their religious leaders and have a heart to minister before the Lord. Because when you have a religious spirit, it's not going to go well. If you have a religious spirit, your outward words are not going to be very clear. But if you have a heart that's ministering before the Lord, the external aspect, the things that come out of your heart and your mouth will be completely different. Because you're connected with God. But religiously, when we fall about it forms and knowing things and doing all the things around the church, there are people who do everything in the church. And you can lose out the point and you can lose out everything if you don't know the person within the Bible. You can know all the scriptures you want, but if you don't know Jesus, you have nothing. There's a lot of philosophers out there who know the scriptures inside out and know to quote the Bible better than myself. But I can tell you something, if they don't have Jesus, they don't have nothing. It's just a normal book for them. We need to know the person in the Bible, and that is Jesus Christ himself. See, Jesus puts his finger on the religious leaders and found in John 5:39, says, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are very scriptures that testify about me." Jesus looks at these guys and he says, you know the script, you know the Bible back and forth. You think you can have enough about God. You know enough about God. You will have eternal life. No, it doesn't work that way. You have failed to realize that God revealed himself to us through the scriptures. Not so that we know about him or know of God, but we need to know more about him, more of him in our life. So we might be led into a relationship with God. It is mastered. It says, you have mastered the scriptures, the written word, but unfortunately, you have missed a point. You have missed the person who is eternal life to the scripture points out to in our as we read the scriptures. You have gathered all the principles of the text, but you have missed the person of the text itself, and that is Jesus. You know a lot about God, but you just don't know God. People could know a lot about God, but they really don't know God. Because when you know God, things are different. Our words are different. Our actions are different. Our direction is going to be different because God is directing now. It's not that you know about him or you heard about him. It's when you experience it makes a big difference in our lives. And at the end of the day, the religious leaders did not know a lot. They wanted to be seen. They wanted to be seen by man. They wanted to be seen by man and they knew everything about God. But at the end of the day, these religious leaders, they just didn't want God. My prayer is that every one of us in this place, that steps in this place, will not become religious leaders, but will want to know more of God. Will experience more of him in our lives every single day. So at the end of all this, the problem, the reality is the problem that was there 100 or 1,000 years before Christ. The problem is that even when we speak in the Old Testament and the New Testament religious leaders, the problem is still today in 2017. There are still religious leaders in the churches. And we must remove those religious spirits and have a heart connected with God. My prayer is not to hurt anybody. But I can tell you one thing. I don't want to offend anybody in a bad way. But if the Word of God offends you, in one way to instruct us, to draw closer to him, let it be. I don't want to offend God. I'd rather offend the human being than God himself. So I pray that the word of God will just hit us hard this morning, including myself, that we're not going to go in the routine or the motion of religious spirit, but have a heart that is connected with God daily. And that's when you can hear from God, is when you're connected. So, in 1 Samuel 2, we have to go to even 1 Samuel chapter 2. It speaks about that. Hey, Eli had two sons, and Hophni and Phinehas. You know, those are very difficult words, so forgive me on those areas there. And Eli has his sons were spiritual leaders in the days. Listen to this. They were spiritual leaders in those days. They were priests. This Eli and the two sons were priests, were spiritual leaders. They were doing everything at that time. They were taking care of all things. And Eli was a priest and a judge in Israel. He had held a high position and most responsible position among the people of God. As a man chosen for sacred duties of a priesthood, he set over the land as the highest authority. He was looked up as an example, as a great influence over the tribes of Israel. And if we had the time, we would look at Eli and his sons were doing a lot of stuff for God. They were priests, they were the bosses, you can say. They were in charge, and they were doing everything. And in a nutshell, I can tell you, they were doing all things, but they did not have the love for God. That's why God did not speak to Eli directly. Even though in that high position, God did not speak to him directly. He used an unnamed prophet to speak to him. Doesn't it show us something? Why did God not speak to that person individual? Why did not God speak to Eli individual? Because Eli was doing something wrong. Eli was looking at the two sons, and the two sons were doing something wrong, and he has not corrected it. Eli was just going through the emotions. He was going through the routines. He was doing everything in the temple court. He was doing all things. And you know that there's people within the church that know everything around the church, that go all around and get everything in prepared and all that. But if you don't have a heart with God, you cannot hear from God. It's better if you just sit and listen for a period of time. But what we need is committed Christians, that we need the people that are there seeking the face of God. We so are tied up with so much things around. And Eli was in a high position with the two sons doing everything. And if you know the rest of the story, but what they were doing with the boiled meat and all that, they weren't even stealing it. The kids were stealing the meat before even raw. And God did not speak to Eli directly. He used an unnamed prophet to come and speak to him. See, you can read the story from beginning to end, but there's something missing. They knew a lot about God, but they haven't experienced God. There's no evidence in the scriptures that these men wanted God. You don't find them worshiping God, Eli and the two sons. You don't find them that any desire for God. In fact, they really didn't care about God. And lastly, they had not even fear for God in their life. The Bible tells us exactly what they were doing. Two sons, they were doing a lot of work in this time when someone would sacrifice to bring an offering before the priest. And then the priest was supposed to make a sacrifice, kill the animal, and a portion of the animal was supposed to go to the priest. And then they would boil it and it consume it. But the bulk of it went to the Lord. It was offered to the Lord. Eli's sons were doing exactly that. They were actually taking more of the meat. Basically, they were stealing from the Lord. There was a portion that was supposed to go to the Lord, but they took more instead of giving it to the Lord. So what were they doing? They were stealing. Their heart was not there, because if they were obedient and they were connected with God, they would do exactly what God would tell them to do. But the heart was not there. His wicked sons, the Bible tells us in verse 12 of chapter 2, Eli's sons were scoundrels. They had no regard for the Lord. And to the Midrash, where's the demanding it to have it before the meat was even fully boiled? There was a direct violation against what God's law that has said. And if anybody would stand up and question about the refuse to get the meat out of them, they would take it by force, the Bible tells us in verse 16. They would take it by force. They were in a high position, but they were wicked. They were bad. They didn't want to know anything about God. And it's sad. And my prayer is no one in New Hope Christian Assembly is that way. No one in New Hope Christian Assembly is going to be a religious leader. Because when we have religious spirits, we're not going to go far. We must depend on God. Now you might be saying, Pastor, we're not talking about the voice of God. I'm going to get to the point that I want to share with you this morning. It's right here when we see it, and they would take it by force. These men didn't fear for God or worship God. They didn't care about God. And verse 17 tells, the sins of the young men were very great in the Lord's sight, for they were treated the Lord's offering with contempt. Their sins were so high. And this is a story itself that you can look at, because the Bible even tells us here that Eli didn't even do anything because the sons were doing this kind of stuff. You know, that's a story for itself for fathers. I know I don't want to speak about this next week about fathers, because it is Father's Day next week, but the father has a big responsibility. When we see our children are not acting the way they're supposed to act, it is our duty to correct them. And the father did not do that. The father did not correct their situation, their sins, and not help them to understand. They didn't say, listen, he just questioned and says, listen, you have a problem, but he didn't go more than that to it. You're supposed to correct it and you're supposed to fix it. But these sons were having problems, and their sins are just corrupting them. So here are spiritual leaders of Israel at that time, and the problem was they didn't care much about God. And he continued to tell us that Eli's sons were even sleeping. You read the scripture, they were sleeping with the women who served at the entrance to the tent of the meeting. Now let me tell you something. If there's a man coming here and he's sleeping with every woman that comes in the church, it is our duty to stop it in Jesus' name. And Eli knew that. He did not do that. Because that is a wolf coming in a place where there's a sheep and trying to destroy the sheep of God. The people of God. And if that person, Eli, did not do that, that's where the consequences was. Because he've seen those things are wrong, but did not act upon it. How can God speak to Eli? He can't speak to Eli if you're living in a wrong life. You cannot hear from God if you're not doing what is right. You cannot hear from God if we're living in sin. You cannot hear from God if we're not connected with Him. I want to be connected with Him daily. And I mean, every one of us here had made a decision, had to make decisions for a move or for a job or for a situation in your families or a situation with your children. You had to make decisions. But I pray that the first thing that you went is to God and to hear from Him. You had to hear from God first, because He has the better outcome than we are. Because when we've done something, I've seen this on Facebook, when we do something, it is really hard to take it back. When we offend someone, it's hard to, when we throw a stone, it's very hard to take it back. We've got to be very careful. So the first thing is we must do is really be connected with God and just go to minister to God and ask God to speak to us through the scriptures. And I'm going to look at that maybe in weeks to come. I'm going to look at how we should, what were the signs of what we should listen to when God does speak and how He speaks to. You know that God speaks through prophets, that God speaks through people, God speaks through the scriptures. Also, do you believe that God speaks through angels? Does God speak through dreams? The Bible tells us that God speaks through even through dreams. So those are things that, you know, and then we have to just know how, is it from God or not? Remember that the ultimate thing is it aligned with God's word? That's what we have to look at. So whether Elias or his sons, the problems were the same at the end of the day. They really didn't want to know God. They didn't fear for the Lord. They were going through the motion, through the routine, but they really didn't care about God. So it doesn't surprise us today. It doesn't surprise that God did not speak to him directly. God doesn't speak to Eli and his sons. There was no word from God to them. And we all know the reason why. It's because they were living in sin. They were disobeying. They weren't doing what God has called them to do. So let it sink for a moment. They are high priests of God. Spiritual leaders of Israel, the top of the religious leaders, and God does not give a word to them directly. If you go on in verses 25, 27 of chapter 2 and 36, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 27 to 36, you will see, now a man of God came to Eli and said to him, now he uses a name prophet. This is what the Lord says, did I not clearly reveal myself to your ancestors' family when they were in Egypt under Pharaoh? I chose you, ancestors, out of the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to go up the altar to burn incense, and to wear an ephod in my presence. I also gave you, ancestors, family, all the food offerings presenting by the Israelites. Why do you scorn my sacrifice and offering I prescribed for my dwelling? Why do you honor your sons more than by fattening yourselves? See, why do you honor your sons more? Yourselves of the choice part of every offering made by the people of Israel. Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promised that members of your family would minister before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me. Those who honor me, I will honor. But those who despise me, I will disdain. The time is coming when I will cut short your strength and the strength of your priestly house so that no one will reach old age. And you will see the distress in my dwelling, although God good will done be done in to Israel. No one in your family line will ever reach old age. Every one of you, I do not cut from your serving from the altar. I will spare only to destroy your sight and sap your strength, and your descendants will die in the prime of life. And what happens to your sons will be a sign to you that we both die on the same day. Low hard word, God. God used a hard word. He used an unnamed prophet to speak to Eli. That's hard. Someone comes up to say, your children will die today. Aren't you going to be afraid of that? It's because he wasn't doing right. So God did not speak to him directly. God could have used him. He wasn't a high priest. He was in a good position. But no. Because of the sins, God used an unnamed prophet to speak to him to go against it, what he was doing. And he says, I'm going to take away your sons. And you know that the same day they both died. Eli's sons were scoundrels. They had no regard for the Lord. It means they did not know. It means they were worthlessness. They were not saved. Here are two sons of the high priest having around their tabernacle actually ministering there. They surely knew about the Lord. For example, they knew the law of doing stuff for God. But we can't know that they didn't want God. You know, parents, and it's okay with this as parents send their children to a Christian school, and I'm not against that. Or sometimes parents will send their children in the teens to a Bible school, and I'm not against that. It is good that these things are happening and those things are out there. We need to learn more about the things of God. And we see that the problem is the following, is that since they're in a good place, since they're in a place where they can be taught by the Word of God, the Word of God is being taught to them, we pray for them daily. And at times that can be even a dangerous place for them when they're in those kinds of places. Because why do I say it? Because the devil is at work. Even though they're in a Christian school, even though they're in a Bible school, the devil is at work. And he works all the time. We feel secure when our kids are in a fiery church. Yeah, or my kid goes to this church and it's okay because that church is rocking and moving, but the devil's there. Theirs was the devil even in the upper room where Christ declared the Last Supper with his disciples. That place was the most dangerous place in Jerusalem that night because the devil was present in the upper room. And we need to remind ourselves, if our boys or our children go to school or a good church, they still need prayer. So if we go back to Eli's the text this morning, the two sons, they did things for the Lord, but they actually didn't want God. They didn't want God. And now we're going to look at another character that we looked at Eli and his two sons. They knew everything about God. They probably knew the law, the five books inside out. They quoted them all, but they didn't love God. Now we see Samuel, 11 years old. See, God will only make himself known to those who want to know him. God will make himself known to those who want to know him. If you want to hear from God, you got to make yourself known to him. You got to spend time with him. Eli and his sons didn't want God, so they didn't make himself known. And now we look at Samuel, another person in this history book, in this story. However, this person wasn't spiritually matured. He's not aged. He wasn't seasoned either. Doesn't he have the? He didn't even have the position as Eli and his two sons. He didn't have the same responsibilities, for example, making sacrifice. I don't know how much he knew about God, but I'm sure he knew the scriptures because he was under the mentoring of Eli. So he have heard all the scriptures, he have heard the law, and he was been taught by Eli. So he did not know much about God as much as Eli knew. I mean, we are looking at a guy that seemed not important. In fact, he was just a young boy, Samuel. Eli and his sons were different than Samuel, because the scripture tells us something extremely important about Samuel here. It tells us this in Samuel chapter 2, verse 11, that Elkanah went home to Ramah, but the boy was what? Ministered before the Lord. And look at in chapter 2, verse 18. But Samuel was what? Ministering before the Lord. So he was there. He was spending time with God. He was timing in his presence. He was with the Word. He was there. He was worshiping. All he wanted more of God. He wanted to hear from God. He wanted to sit with God. He wanted to worship Him. He wanted to pray. He wanted to do everything that you and I do today. As we come to church, we worship God. We're ministering to the Lord. It doesn't say ministering to the people. See, the other ones were ministering to the people. They were doing everything around the tabernacle or the temple and doing all the sacrifice thing. But God wants us to minister before the Lord, not to people. Is that's what He wants us to do. Spend time with Him. Desire and get on your knees and get there and say, God, I want to hear from You today. And if it has to take some of us to put aside some ministries for a day, for a week, for a month, do so. But the key is connect with God. You cannot lead a mission. You cannot lead a leadership position if you don't connect with God. Because we're running the church not because of our own strength, not as by might, not as by power, but as by the Spirit of the Lord. And if your heart is not connected with God, you cannot lead the church. You cannot lead the church. And I don't care in any position that you are in a church, as a pastor, to as a youth leader, to as a children, to a custodian, whatever it is in this church here. If you're not connected with God and you're not doing the things of God, let me tell you something, you're not doing it right. We want to hear from God. We want to remove religious leaders. And to have people and men and God, men and women of God, who are ministering before the Lord first and hearing from God. That's why God spoke to Samuel three times. Because he was ministering before the Lord. When I hear this, see, the Bible tells us, Hosea 6:6, for I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I desire steadfast love, not sacrifice. That's what He wants. He doesn't want the emotions or the routines. He wants us to have a desire, a steadfast love for God. But you can serve God, and at the same time you can hear from God, if you don't have the religious leader, if you don't have the religious spirit. Here's the key of all this. When you see desire, Hor Israel, the Lord of God, our God, the Lord is one. You shall what? Love the Lord your God with all what? Your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. When you do that, when you follow this, when you love the Lord with all your heart and soul and all your might, that's when God will speak. Love for God was the number one priority for the people of Israel. The whole law, including the offerings of sacrifice, was to serve as an expression of His love for the Lord. But God speaks to those who love more than offerings and sacrifices. Look what happened. Look what happens when your heart is to know God. Look what happens when your desire and your desire mercy, when your desire loyalty, God speaks. And Samuel was called three times, the first, the second, and the third. Samuel never realized that it was God that spoke to him. Maybe he was young, but at the last time when God spoke again, the fourth time was when Eli told him, go and listen. And go and sing, listen what God has to tell you. And then the Lord said to Samuel, see, I am to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about to tingle. It tingle. Wow, they would bring a ring in indicating a response to a horrific report. And here he is, God spoke again to Samuel. He basically confirms to Samuel that he's going to destroy the household of the mentor Eli and strip him of all the priesthood. Talk about the first prophetic assignment. Samuel was faithful to receive it and to communicate it to Eli what the Lord had said. And you know, he went and told him everything, what he had to do. But it's so interesting that God did not speak to Eli, but God spoke directly to Samuel in chapter 3. I believe that God wanted to speak to Eli, but he was a spiritual leader, the one who had all the knowledge. No, but instead he speaks to the young boy Samuel. And this is the day of the Lord. This is the day of the judges in Israel. This was still the dark times in Israel. And it's not that God wasn't speaking to Eli. He was not speaking at all. You see, God isn't silent. We just have trouble hearing him. God wanted to speak. But there was something there to block him to hear from God. Both raised in the tabernacle. He was doing the great things of God, the things of God. He was learning about the things of God. But something different in chapter 3 is here when Samuel came to know God. He came to experience him in a deeper way. And what does it mean? He came to experience God closer. New Hope, we need to have a relationship with God to hear from God. If you want to hear from God, you need to have a relationship with God. That is the key. You need to have this relationship with God. They had no regard for the Lord, the scripture tells us in verse 12. They knew about God, they knew the law, but they haven't experienced the Lord. They have an encounter with the Lord. So the things at times that block us from hearing from God, we must just take the opportunity and say, Lord, what is it? Examine this. Lord, I want to hear from you. And what is it that's blocking me, God? What is it that's blocking me, Lord, to not hear clearly from you? And just ask and say, Lord, help me to understand your voice clearly in my life. I want to hear your voice clearly. You know that you can be singing, you can be hearing from the Word of God, and you miss the point. You can be jumping, you can be excited, and you will miss out the point. You can know the scriptures inside out. You can memorize it. And sometimes it can shock us how they memorize the scriptures inside out. From Genesis to Revelation, they know it. They know where to quote. They know everything. But you will miss the point if you do not know the person of Christ in the Bible. That's the key, to know the person of Jesus inside the Bible first. And when we do that, then it makes it more clear, more clear for us to understand. There's so many voices out there that can hit us every single day of our life. And they can be distracting in our lives. They can be so distracting in our life, and we can make some wrong decisions. So there was this pastor that had this, he had an office, and it was the first week that it was there, and all of a sudden he asked the secretary, why do you have like a generator not too far from this office? And they said, the reason why we put this generator is because the other pastors, when they were counseling, you could have heard them clearly what they were saying. So they put a generator so to distract the sound. So there would be no, you can't really understand, hear that voice there. See, that's what happens in life. You cannot hear it if there's something else happening. You can't hear it clearly if there's something else around it. So you must turn off that generator to hear clearly what's happening on the other side. You must turn away what it is in our life to hear clearly from God what he wants us to do in our lives. I want the best for my family and my life. So every day you have to examine yourself and say, what is it, God? Because if God has given me this, let's look at this for a second here. If I am the shepherd of the church, what God has placed, and I don't hear from God, where am I going to lead the church? It's going to be a disaster. You're going to have just a religious leader. And do you want a religious leader? You don't want. Nobody wants a religious leader. We want someone who hears from God, is directed by God to do the things of God. So if that is really important for me, is it important even for the other ones? So I take this for me and says, Lord, I need to examine myself. What is it? I don't want no distractions, but I need to focus on you, God. God will make himself known to those who wants to know him. That's my slogan, you want to call it. The reality is the problem that is faced in Jesus' times with the religious leader is the same problem we're facing in the Old Testament with Eli and his sons is the same problem we're facing today. I fear that we just settle with the Christian life at times. We are happy. We work in a church. We serve in the church. We do lots of things in the church. Some people might know the scriptures better than I do. And some of them settle for that Christian life and they're happy with it. And hearing it, but we just settle for learning more about God. Yes, there's some of us even, let me tell you this, there's even some of us playing the game. Going through all the motions. All the external seen by men. Look at that brother. Look at that sister. Does everything for God in the church. But what doesn't the Bible tell us? You desire more what? Loyalty? Less sacrifice, but more of the love for him. Doesn't he want that? Now, I'm not trying to say I want everybody to step down in ministry. No, I'm not saying that. Please, because then tomorrow morning I'm going to have a problem. No. Everybody should be involved in something, in the ministry what God has called you to be. But what my encouragement is be connected with God. Because you're leading the people of God. And if you're leading the people of God, you must be connected with God to lead the people of God. I don't want anybody in the leadership position leading people with spiritual leadership or religious spirit. No, I want you to be connected with God daily. And when you're connected with God, then you're sure that God is speaking to you and you can lead the people of God. So Samuel was spending time with the Lord and hears from God. What do we want out of all this? What do we want out of Christianity? Do we want to be seen as someone who does a lot for God? Who knows a lot about God, searching for positions in what you want? Or do you want to know God more in a deeper way? So two burdens I come with you this morning. As I'm coming to my conclusion, everyone says, praise the Lord. Because I'm coming to a conclusion, eh? By the way, the other churches want me to preach for an hour and a half. So if you guys want me, I can do it an hour and a half. It's not true. Two burdens I come to this morning. The first, to those who are familiar with the things of God. And they know a lot about God, but they just never came to know God. Pastor, you're pretty strong in telling us this. I've been here for 15 years. My wife, a wise woman, always told me, always preach about Christ and always give me opportunity to know Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. You might not know if that person is saved or not. Always give that opportunity. So, you know a lot about God, but you have never came to know God. If you're that person there, I encourage you to get to know God. I fear that there are people around the world and even in church, and I'll be naive if they were not even here in New Hope Christian Assembly. Who is just like Eli and his son, just like the leaders in Jesus' time. You're obsessed with the external forms. You're consumed with the religious activities. You are fascinated with biblical truth and biblical teaching. And you have been raised in the church. You're familiar with everything in the church. You grew up in the things of God. But in the end of the day, you have never known him. It's powerful. Lord, help us to know you more. Examine our hearts this morning. If you are the person who do all the things in the church, you serve, and you serve well, and you serve, and you know the scripture, you memorize the word, but if you really don't meet the person in the Bible, you have nothing. My encouragement to you, examine your heart and say, am I doing this as a religious leader, or am I following you, Lord? Am I hearing from you, doing what you want me to do, God? If the Lord is opening your eyes this morning, that is the reality. He's doing it graciously. He wants to speak to us. Remember one thing, God will not speak to the ones who are going to go through the routine of life. God will speak to those who want to know God more in a deeper way. I cannot say it more clear than that. God will make himself known to those who want to know him. And the second burden that I have with every one of us here this morning, including myself, that I, this morning, for those who know the Lord, I'm talking about the ones who are the children of God, the ones who have experienced God. But the reality is that you haven't known him as a very long time. It's not like you lost your relationship with God. It's not that. It's like in a marriage. I have a relationship with my spouse, and the relationship is there, but the intimacy is gone. At times you have this relationship with God, but the intimacy, that love for God, has gone. If you are that person today, my encouragement is you go back to intimacy with God. You haven't lost the relationship. It's still there, but you're holding your hands by distance with your wife. Instead of before the first day, the first time you were married, you were just holding your hands together and nobody could have got close to you because you were such in love. The roses were flying, the chocolates were going, you were going to Shoppers every week to buy chocolates because you were such in love. You opened the doors, that there was that intimacy, that relationship, and so close by, knitted together. And then as the years passed, you still have the relationship, but you're walking like this. Or some of us walk 5 feet away. It's not my wife. No, it's not my wife. We just let it go, you know? Some of us have that relationship with God, but we've really lost that connection, that intimacy, the spending quality time with God. And this is what we need to do, is to examine ourselves and say, Lord, am I the religious leader? If I am, help me, Lord. Please forgive me, because I want to minister to you, Lord. I want to minister because I want to hear clearly from you. Remember, you will never hear from God if there's something blocking it. You will never hear from God. And I want every one of us to hear from God. And when you hear from God, better results come out of it. We're not confused. Because even when you're going through services, brother, you know, I have this and I share this because It hurts me how sometimes people can be so naive. It does. Because we've been raised in a Christian home, am I right? You've heard the word of God so many times. You've heard the preaching so many times. You've read the scriptures. You've experienced God. And at times I've seen this, and I know I'm pondering on this a couple of times. I didn't speak to about this. But I'm not here to bash any other leaders itself. I'm not. But let me tell you something. If I will come up to you this morning, I will come to you this morning and I say, every chair here is demon-possessed. I need $30,000. What are you going to do? Are you going to say, are you a phony? Are you going to say I'm a phony or something? You're going to say, you're a scammer. You're trying to scam $30,000 for chairs that are possessed? Chairs cannot be possessed. No? But when you hear something like this from a pulpit, and then you have 300 individuals saying, yeah, Pastor, it's true. Where is the wisdom of the people? It's because we just want to hear from the word, from people. But when you experience God, when you hear from God, the discernment comes in and you say, Pastor, you're false. I'm not going to give you $30,000. It doesn't make sense. Because first of all, if you had demons in the chair, why don't you pray against it? No? Demons are not going to chair, demons go in a person. So when you're connected with God, you hear from God, and when those nonsense come out of the pulpit, you and I can stand firm for it. Because you're hearing from God. Then you get the world saying, what a confusing church. So this is my encouragement to you, is to conclude this morning. I know my conclusion was pretty long, but to conclude this morning is to minister before the Lord. And when you minister before God, you will hear from him. Let's all stand this morning. This is my slogan this morning. God will make himself known to those who want to know him. Amen. As the band will come forth, we're just going to pray. And we'll conclude this service this morning and ask God just to speak to our hearts. As when we just take a time, a moment of worship before the Lord, just going to worship God this morning, just a few minutes, and examine yourself. Says, yeah, I need to work on some areas in my heart this morning, Lord. If I've been acting like a religious leader, Lord, forgive me. I don't want that, Lord. I want to just minister before you, Lord, this morning. So every heart, every head bowed and every eye closed, and examine yourself. Just take a moment and examine yourself as before the Lord this morning. And we're going to pray and ask God to move in our hearts, in our lives. So if you're here this morning for the first time, and you have not known Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you heard about Him, you know the Scriptures, but you have not experienced them, I encourage you to do so. If you want prayer, we can pray for you at the end of the service. You say, Lord, I need to know more about Jesus, and I want to know more about Him. And ask Him to come into your life, and God will. The only way that Jesus will come into your life is when you ask Him. That's the only way.